Welcome to the Sports and Chip podcast presented by Lots Brewing. We are joined each and every week with your host, Maddie.
Like, her headphones must be, like, just hardened, like, just calloused.
And the amazing Smitty.
Hey, you guys want to lay in my vomit?
If you like your sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, this is the podcast for you. And now, our hosts, the amazing Maddie and Smitty. Take it away, boys.
I try to live and let live, but everyone else is an asshole.
Welcome to the Sports and Shit podcast, sponsored by Lops Brewing. It is season 3, episode 4. I am Maddie, and my co-host is a swell guy. It is Smitty again.
Thanks a lot. I don't think you mean that.
Another co-host.
I don't think you mean that at all.
No, I don't. But I can't find anybody else, so you are the guy again.
Who would you have to do the editing if I wasn't here?
Oh, well, that's very true. That's why I keep you. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. It'll never happen. And we have a special guest returning to the program. As always, we love having her. She's a friend of the podcast, Tanya Ray Fox, the host of the Almost Shameless podcast. Tanya, really good to have you with us.
Good to be here, guys.
Even better than the last time. Yeah. That's terrific.
I had to do it. I had to be weird with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're weird with everything. So go ahead. Lops Brewing is our sponsor. And Lops is a brewery and tasting room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. It's open 7 days a week. And you can use the coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order. Just go to lopsbrewing.com and follow them at Lops Brewing for new beers and events. And we do the news each week, Tanya, and you will love our news, our weird news. Our first news item: I donated a kidney to my boyfriend, then he brutally dumped me.
Oh God, I can't. I was not ready to get off that hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, last week we had a story where a guy donated a kidney to his girlfriend's mother, and then she dumped him a month later and got married. Not only dumped him, got married to somebody else.
Yeah. So this is what I'm wondering is, like, when I hear this stuff, what I hear is, like, someone donated a kidney to try to save their relationship that they already knew was failing, and they were in denial. Like, well, this is okay. Like a last ditch attempt. Like, I hate to victim shame here, but, like, right, something is not right in your relationship before the kidney donation.
So the way we looked at it was, she was pressuring him to do it all this time. He finally gives in, and then she's like, see you later, pal. Thanks for the kidney. Peace out, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, for sure. That's definitely what happened. But, like, isn't the fact that, like there was nothing else wrong in your relationship? Like, you had the perfect relationship outside of the weird kidney thing. I don't buy it.
Well, that's true. I mean, he donated the kidney because he didn't have a backbone, I think, is what the problem
Yeah,
was,
I think,
right?
That might have been part of the issue.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, in this case, donating a kidney to a person in need is not something anyone goes into lightly. But when Colleen had the chance to change her boyfriend's life 6 years ago, she didn't think twice. She went under the knife and gave her kidney, and then was dumped shortly thereafter. Wow. Now that's harsh. You know, I mean, you have two kidneys, but that's harsh. Right.
I think the moral of the story is to either give your kidney to a complete stranger so that, like, you're just doing it out of complete, like, goodness of your heart. It has nothing, you know what I mean? Like, you're just going full philanthropic, or to donate your kidney to someone with whom you have a paperwork relationship that cannot be broken. We're in this for the long haul. Like, someone who has, like, who you have their power of attorney or something.
I think you're right. Philanthropy, I mean, that takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little, that's a little, to do it for a stranger. Yeah, that's, you know, that's
people
really
do
good.
It.
Yeah,
they do.
That's
yeah.
really
people
nice
do it.
Of you.
There's, like, something, there's some sort of organization that they promote on American Ninja Warrior, because, like, one of those guys donated a kidney to, like, a girl he was a match for that he didn't know. And then they became, like, really close. And his whole thing is, like, share your spare. And, like, he promotes basically, like, signing up for donor matching for your, like, other kidney, like, just to be on a list for people, usually, like, children who don't have matches in their family.
Well, that's nice. Wow. Much better people than we are. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if people want my kidney. I
doing some damage to it now, are you?
Yeah, I probably. It's certainly not the liver. I'm not giving that up because no one wants that. But yeah. The kidney, yeah, I don't know about that. Hey, it's Girl Scout cookie season. And that's a big part of the year.
It is.
I mean, we've gotten past the holidays. Now we're in the Girl Scout cookie season. We kind of need it. We're going to get dumped on in the snow and it's cold. And so in this case, what's the most searched for Girl Scout cookie in your state? So it lists the most searched for Girl Scout cookie. And in Massachusetts, it's your favorite, I think, Smitty, right? The Thin Mints.
Do you like
Thin Mints?
I'm a Thin Mint guy, but I'm also a Samoa's guy.
You're a Samoa's guy.
Yeah, me too.
I love the Samoas. I don't know if they're called that anymore, though.
They're not. They're called Caramel Delights. Caramel Delights now.
Yeah. But yeah, it was the Thin Mints. The Tagalongs are in New Hampshire.
What are those?
I don't even know what those are. The peanut butter, the chocolate-covered peanut butter.
Oh, is that what that is? Chocolate-covered peanut butter?
You know what I love is the peanut butter sandwich ones that are kind of like the Nutter Butters.
Oh, yeah.
I'll eat a whole box of those things.
Sure you will.
Holy smokes.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, those are pretty good. I don't know where you get these, but these crazy headlines are fantastic. Florida man arrested for calling 911 after his kitten was denied entry into a strip club. Tried to bring the cat in.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of pussy already in there. Why not one other cat, right?
That's a play on words. Sure. He brought the cat in. I don't know. Is there a service cat?
I don't think there's a service cat.
There's service cats. They don't do work like dogs. Obviously, like cats don't work. But there's like emotional comfort.
Emotional support cats.
Yes.
You probably see that in California, right? Emotional support cats.
Oh, you would see that in California, no question.
Yeah. Emotional. I saw a guy the other day while I was taking a walk. I saw a guy riding his bike with like a big blue parrot on the handlebars. A live parrot sitting on the handlebars. This was like dead ass, a live bird riding with him.
Hey,
most impressive is that the parrot sat there.
I was like,
he was in motion.
I was like, dude, you can fly right now.
Why don't you just leave? Just leave.
You have every opportunity to leave. Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there were service cats. I don't think they're that nice. So I'm surprised by it. Like, cats will just turn on you. You know, they're like the guy that gives a kidney and she turns on him. The cats will do the same thing. They're not that friendly.
But there are some cuddly cats. And then there's you have to pick the right cat for the job. Mm. Just like with dogs, like you don't see service chihuahuas.
Right.
You know, like specific dogs are designed for the job of service. You know, like you got your German shepherds and golden retrievers and job dogs. And then there's dogs that simply are not up to the task.
Yeah,
and
I feel chihuahuas. Yeah,
are you a cat person or are you a dog person, Tanya?
I would say I'm probably more a dog person. Like if I were going to get a pet, like my dream pet would be a dog. I haven't gotten one because I can't handle commitment to anything. But I've come around on cats because my family has a lot of cats. And I've realized that they're actually like a perfect type of pet for me because they're low maintenance and not needy. And like, I am too much of the reason I'm not a commitment person is because I start caring too much. So I will become a helicopter like dog parent, and cats don't need that.
Right.
Oh, they frown upon that, actually.
Yeah.
They'll fight back on that, I think. You know who else was snakes? A snake expert from North Carolina removed 124 snakes in total from the Charles County home where David Riston was found deceased Wednesday night. The inventory included a highly venomous black mamba, cobras, and a rattlesnake. He had 124 snakes in there upon
were they just riding the handlebars like the parrot? Like, you just letting those things loose? What are we doing?
124 snakes.
It's venomous. Put it in the goddamn cage.
Highly venomous.
Did they kill him?
I think he just died of natural causes.
Probably scared the shit out of him. Would have scared me.
Mamba.
A cobra?
Get a black mamba.
Can you imagine?
Can you get that legally?
I don't think you can get it legally. Can you imagine just waking up and a cobra's just ready to strike at the side of your bed? Like, I would die of a heart attack, probably.
There's no way. way you can legally own 124 snakes.
No, like, I don't think so.
You're already doing something illegal right there, let alone having like venomous snakes mixed with other snakes. Like, do all snakes get along? Do we know about this? It doesn't sound kosher.
Well, that is true. A family of snakes is not, not everyone is part of the family, but he did have a license for the snakes. But not the venomous ones, not the black mamba.
Okay. He was trying to pay homage to Kobe.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
The anniversary of his death, which was today?
Yeah, today. Yeah, yeah. So that's all that was. It's just, someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do the black mamba. Yeah. It's still under investigation, by the way, his death. So I don't know if they strangled him or...
They killed him. If he had a constrictor in there, I remember in one of my best friends when we were younger, once we were in like college age, he had a pet snake and he woke up one day and the snake was laid out beside him, all like stretched out completely beside him in bed. Like he was on top of the covers and the snake was stretched out beside him. And he told someone, he's like, was my snake trying to like hang out with me? And he was like, no, he was trying to stretch himself out to see how long he was to figure out if he could eat you.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, and he was like, oh.
Wow. Can you imagine?
He's measuring himself next to you. Yeah. Luckily, you're a few inches taller, so he didn't eat you
today. I'm only
5'6".
I can't eat that.
Yeah, Matt, you're a goner. You have no chance. You have no chance.
He's all of me. Yeah, that's an appetizer. Hey, Japanese man breaks into school to recover stuff teacher took from him over 40 years ago. So he broke into the school to harbor that much, pain over losing your stuff 40 years ago.
What do you think it was? What do you think it was so important that he needed to break back into school from 40 years, from when he was a kid in school? It was like a
pencil box. Well, it would have to be like from the 80s. It would have to be like an 80. So like Rubik's Cube and cocaine.
Right. Hey, that's some vintage cocaine.
It's
in the 80s. Well, I mean, I could see why he would want it back. Well,
exactly.
The cocaine he probably needs back.
He snuck into the school with his girlfriend and went and tried to get his stuff back. Did you ever have stuff confiscated in class?
One time, and I sweat in bullets because it was actually joints. I got a cigarette box with two joints in it from this girl in school, and I had it on my desk. I didn't put them in my pocket. I put them on my because I didn't want to crush them. And Mr. McDonnell, the math teacher, picked them up. He's like, these things will kill you. But back then you could smoke in school. Like we had a smoking courtyard. So he didn't open it or anything, but he picked it up and he was walking around with it in class. He's like, these things will kill you. And then he flipped it back to me.
Oh my Lord. In high school.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
That's a proud moment.
Yeah.
I never had anything confiscated from me in class because I was deathly afraid of getting in trouble. My dad was an elementary school principal. He knew everybody. So I didn't bring anything to school, including my books or my notebooks or anything. So I just said, I'm not getting anything confiscated.
How about you, Tanya? Anything stolen from you while you were in school?
No, I was pretty good. I was like a good student. I didn't really get into contraband until like later in high school. And like in that case, I was like, I was just drinking, at parties and stuff. Like I didn't do anything. The only time I ever got in trouble with a teacher was out of high school. 2 years later, I was using a fake ID. It was like before I turned 21. And I made the dumb decision to go to a local bar that like a lot of local people work at. And my high school gym teacher was one of the bartenders. And he was like, yeah, I don't know about this. And he's like, doing the math in his head. Like, there's no way she's 21. She just graduated however many years ago, whatever it was. And then he goes and he's like, this is not you. And he like picks up my ID. And I was like, fuck me. So he took my fake ID 2 years after high school. This is worse than getting things taken from you in high school, is to have your high school gym teacher take your fake ID from you 2 years after you graduate.
Wow.
Well, then you were without a fake ID for a couple of years too, which got to suck.
It was, I think it was only like 6 months.
Long 6 months though.
That's a long 6 months. Hey, Idris Elba. Is it Idris?
Yeah, Idris.
Sure.
It's part of the conversation to be the next James Bond.
Yes.
I think he should be.
You think he should be?
Yeah. I think he's an excellent actor. He's British, so he has a British accent. Boom. There it is. Done. He's fucking Bond. Suave as hell. Like, give it to him.
Yeah.
I like a good older Bond, too. Like, I like a silver fox Bond versus, like, a younger Bond. Like, I even right now, I prefer the Bond being, like, the fact that he's, like, older now, I like.
Mm-hmm.
It's being at least your 40s. A younger Bond, to me, starts feeling like Jason Bourne, and I don't need that.
I agree.
That's a good point.
I think this fits. So after the NCAA approved name, image, and likeness deals, Bay Area college teams started using the allure of Silicon Valley connections to entice prospective athletes. But so far, I guess $51 is the median amount student athletes are getting under these deals. $51.
Yeah.
That's not really how they made it out to be.
The way it's laid out, you know, the stars are going to get the big deals,
right,
which is not very many people. And then the rest of them aren't getting it. And why would you want to give the backup linebacker anything?
Right.
They're not going to get anything. Right. That's right. It's already super skewed. It's skewed toward certain conferences and certain schools. And then it's skewed toward higher end players on the team. And then it's also skewed towards men's sports over women's sports. So like, it's already a deeply unfair system to start, but like, I understand what happened was like, we have to start compensating at least the people whose name and likeness is being taken the most advantage of, and then like go from there.
Yeah. I mean, what's stopping like Nike from giving Oregon recruits like $5 million, like the best quarterback?
Nothing.
What's stopping that?
Nothing.
I don't think anything. I'm pretty sure Phil and I could go crazy if he wanted.
What's crazy to me is the NCAA would not completely hover over this and completely take the reins on this. They would just let it. They go from never allowing anything to not policing this at all. It's just crazy to me.
Well, they're not good at policing anything. Like they never have been. So like,
no, they're not.
When the government was like, yeah, you have to have name and image and likeness like laws in place for these athletes, the NCAA was like, well, you deal with it then.
Right. Yeah. So that's going to create some problems. A Florida man tells cops he didn't drink while driving, only at the stop signs.
God, I love Florida. I just love Florida. Florida's going Florida, aren't they?
They are. Only at the stop signs, you know.
Loophole.
Yeah, only not in transit.
Can't fool me, officer.
Good for him. In the Netherlands, employees can be absent for up to 2 years while receiving 70% of their salary as sick pay. Wow. It's like a leave of absence for up to two years. You can be absent.
I feel like healthcare elsewhere is a little bit better than how things work around here.
Certainly beneficial to people.
I don't like hearing about European work culture and healthcare culture. It's like incredibly depressing. It's like nothing will make you feel worse than to be like, oh yeah, in Sweden, they'll send you like a gift basket and give you like 17 extra days off if you had a bad day.
Right.
You're like, what?
Yeah. What? Oh, you mean you have to pay for healthcare? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and every day we don't work on Fridays, and you get a 2-hour lunch every day, and we take naps. And
the world's longest recorded fart lasted 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Wow.
That's a long time.
That is a long time.
I mean, that's 162 seconds.
Yeah. How is a good question? And then the other question is it this woman who's bottling that shit up and selling it on the internet? Is it that person?
Well, she had a heart attack.
Oh, that's right. She did.
Maybe that was 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe
we were talking about this earlier on a prior episode, Tanya, but there's a woman who was on like OnlyFans who was like jarring up her farts and selling them to people.
I saw that because I saw like something about it on TikTok. And then I saw that she like had made herself sick because she was taking all of this stuff to obviously produce this. And like she was eating like cans and cans of beans and like whatever. She was like, oh, it was crazy behavior.
Yeah. Right.
And so now I'm thinking the person who did the world record probably like was doing crazy shit to their body to try to get this to happen. But like, I still don't quite believe that it could go over, like, I mean, honestly, more than like 30 seconds. I don't know. I don't know how that's possible. I'll take their word for it because I don't want evidence, but whatever.
What I don't understand is you get this thing in the mail, this jar. Does it really withstand the travel, the delivery, the travel? Like when you open it up, is it really going to smell like a fart?
I don't think so. I think it's the thought that counts.
Use your imagination. He has a job.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they send you like a deodorant in the mail with like the cap on it or whatever, and like you lift the cap, it still smells, right? But it I guess smells. It's not the same because it's just a cloud.
How do you fart into the jar? You sit the whole like sit, do it, capture. piece is like, just, you know,
yeah,
you,
quick lid. I think there must be, I think honestly, luckily, I feel like odor just itself will contain itself like better than we realize. Like if you think about how like true. Odor will stick to stuff, and if you cap something, it probably just sticks to there. She probably got a mason jar, and like even, you know, it's like, even if it's just a little remnant, obviously if people are willing to pay for that, then they're willing to take some real scraps, you know?
Yeah. You know, $100 and you get like one quick whiff and then, you know,
then it's gone.
Maybe exactly. A minute or two.
Yeah. Can you open it, smell it, and then recap it?
Yeah.
You might be able to.
Quickly,
maybe.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Hey, Neil Young threatens to pull music from Spotify. He has had his music pulled, I guess, from Spotify.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
To protest Joe Rogan misinformation. Here's what I don't understand about the whole thing with Joe Rogan. And I don't really listen to it, or I don't listen to him. I don't really care. I don't understand the phenomenon behind Joe Rogan. I see him as, what is his talent? What is his skill? What is his, I don't understand his, he has an incredible following. He's like the top podcast in the world. I don't get it. I don't get any of it.
I think it's just what happens, like when there was maybe a demographic of people who felt like they enjoyed the idea that there are these like long form conversations with open-minded people, that they, to them, it's like, they're not talking down to me. I could feel like I'm included in the conversation. And then like with any sort of like cult following, things grow and Joe Rogan will have all these different people on and they feel like they're being open-minded and being like included in conversations that no one else is having. And then that becomes a snowball because people are just like, oh, this is the guy that's talking truth, you know? And then the backlash obviously comes when you realize like a lot of the people he's having on and having like open conversations with are just like bullshit artists. And Joe isn't smart enough to like actually dialogue with them in a meaningful way so that misinformation gets filtered through. And like, so that's all it is like, I don't think Joe Rogan is like an evil genius or anything like that. I just think he's not smart enough to realize that he's not as smart as his followers want him to be. And so idiots with a platform eventually say dangerous things.
Well, I guess that's why 70 million people voted for Donald Trump. Sorry. Uh-huh. That's where you have that, I guess. Hey, Ringo Starr drops his legal battle against Ringo penis rings. They were called Ringo.
Ooh.
He had a legal battle against them.
He dropped the battle. Maybe they sent him one.
Well, maybe there's no evidence here that they were shaped as a star.
No, they were. No,
it's got to be an O. I would hope
it's a Ringo penis ring.
Yeah, it's got to be an O because Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox.
Yeah, Megan Fox.
So she had a wedding ring with the prongs.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So the star. I mean, that's a similar thing. It's got some points.
Yeah, that would.
Yeah, you don't want that. I don't want
you don't want it. And also, like, I think you'd have to be like, it's kind of a stretch to be like, they named this penis ring after Ringo Starr rather than like a ring O shaped thing. It's like,
right.
Ringo, if you didn't bring it up, like, this is a bit of a Streisand effect here. Like, now we associate the penis ring with you, and we didn't have to.
Right. We weren't there at all. Right.
Hey, Ringo.
There's a whole generation of people who don't know who you are.
Right.
Now know who you are.
Yeah. Hey, Ringo. Let it be, buddy.
That's 100% true. Hey, a schoolboy loses both of his nipples after a dare to freeze them with two cans of Lynx.
What?
Two cans of what?
Lynx. L-Y-N-X.
What is that?
Is that some sort of...
I think I read this. Spray. I think it's Axe body spray. Axe. Yeah.
Oh, and he sprayed them until they fell off?
He froze it, I think, and then sprayed his nipples and they like... fell off.
They popped off.
They popped off?
How the...
Oh, no.
That's what it says here.
Is that...
Someone flicked his nipples and they went flying.
Is that a thing? They can just...
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Frozen and they would...
If you... Yeah, I mean, like this is stuff that is not... You're not supposed to do to your body. Like, why? How would we ever know this could happen until some idiot teenager does it, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, this TikTok thing is out of control. It really is. It's unbelievable. Oh, Minnie Mouse is ditching her iconic red dress for a pantsuit.
This doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense. What's the matter with the dress?
I guess my question is what, like, I don't care if cartoon characters change their clothes or not. It would never, like, if I saw Minnie in a pantsuit tomorrow, like, I'm not even sure that I would process that there was a change. And you guys probably wouldn't either. Like, you wouldn't see a cartoon tomorrow and you would be like, where's her dress? Where, why is this happening? Like, you'd probably be like, oh, like, something looks different. And then, like, move on with your life. And then if someone pointed it out. So it's like, I think sometimes we get stuck in our head. We're like, this is a thing from my childhood. I don't want it to change. I don't actually think I would notice unless someone pointed it out to me. So,
well, that's true.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's sometimes what happens. Like, we don't actually care.
No, we don't. We don't really care all that much at all. We don't.
Some people just like things to bitch about. So this is another thing someone can bitch about.
Yeah, I can bitch about it. Why are you getting rid of the dress?
Yeah, why?
Yeah.
I want the dress. My showing off her leg.
My only point is there's no need to change. There's no need to change. There's no need to.
But like, why does it have to be a need? Like, it's also like, if you are an animator and you're like, wouldn't it be cool if she had a pantsuit and like someone was like, yeah, draw it. See how it looks. Great. Cool. Like it would be, to me, it's weirder that like, we're just like, oh no, it's different.
Yeah. Not that it's like, why are you announcing it? Like you said, it's not really that big of a deal.
Right. Okay. Got
you know what I mean? Like, why is that news? Why is it out there that no one cares that much? But, maybe, you know, you don't need to change it. But, people, like, if you're going to change it, you got to tell everybody. Like, I don't know.
It might be for the people who are sexually attracted to cartoons on those porn sites.
Oh, there you go. I mean, there's that.
I think this is more of a power move, like giving Minnie Mouse some, evidently pantsuits give females power, maybe.
Okay.
I've never worn a pantsuit personally, but I have been shopping for one. So maybe I'll take some tips.
All right.
Minnie Mouse design.
You and Minnie can be twinsies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be sweet. South Dakota cop delivered DoorDash food order after arresting the driver. So we arrested the driver and then finished off the job.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah. That person was waiting for a while for their food.
Then they got to call DoorDash and be like, I didn't get my food, take a picture and all that stuff. Yeah, I think that's well done by him. He was arrested. I don't even know what he was arrested for, but the United States leads the world in unprovoked shark bites.
Unprovoked.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we have a country full of assholes. That's why.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unprovoked.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything. I feel that's not true. I feel like we probably provoked the sharks.
I'm not sure that there's a way to get bit by a shark without provoking it. Like, if you're in the water and near it, that's still provocation. Like, that's where they live. We don't live in the water.
Well, right. Technically it is. No, you're right. Because that's their territory.
Yeah, you're going into their territory. You're asking for it. So Americans want to swim. Hey, I want to go to the beach. Get out of my fucking way. I got to go swim in Chatham.
If it was 2 a.m. and someone went up like to your front steps, I mean, that's provocation. You can shoot them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's how many unprovoked shark bites do you think there were last year in the United States?
127.
73. Ooh,
73?
That's even higher than I thought. I was going to guess like 12.
73. Yeah. And 39 provoked. Why would you provoke a shark?
What is 73, but 39 of them were provoked? So what does that mean? You go up to the shark with like a stick and like wrap it on the head or something? Or are you trying to shoot it with like a harpoon? What are we doing?
So like, I wonder if they count like surfers who get attacked by sharks. Like, are they provoking it? Because like that, I feel like anytime you're doing like a water sport in like sharky waters, which is always these like places where the big waves are and whatever, like, are you counting those? Because like, to me, that's like, that's not unprovoked. Like, you are literally moving through a red-blooded thing moving through the water. And they're like, oh, yay.
Yeah. I mean, that is provoked. I don't know why you would further provoke a shark. I'll tell you what. Second was Australia with 12 bites. So you're close, Tanya.
See, I'm more on the Australian
train. On the wavelengths. Yeah.
Smarter people there, for sure. Britain's sexiest postal worker lost 182 pounds by walking on the job.
Nice.
So she was walking as a postal worker and lost 182 pounds.
Wow. Guys, what was she? Walking is, I'm telling you, if we just walked more, we would. Yeah. It's crazy what walking does.
It's true. Does. But what was she doing on the job before that?
Driving that little freaking thing.
She's driving the little truck around.
Yeah, stop and start thing every 30 feet.
Get out and walk a bit.
Yeah. I will say that people are probably like, where the fuck is my mail? Why is this lady walking?
Yeah. Now she only delivers the mail once a week because it takes her forever to get where she's going. Yeah, great. Oh, my bills are 4 days late, but hey, you look fantastic.
Awesome. Hey, you're awesome. Hey, a teen was caught making love to a stuffed horse in Walmart.
Oh, I feel bad for, like, what?
You feel bad for the stuffed horse, don't you?
No, you do.
I feel bad for the teen. People, teens are horny. They don't have boundaries. I feel like we should have just let him live in peace and left this out. It's like, who's writing this article? They're like, I have to snitch on this teen.
Yeah, I have to get this out.
Right?
Yeah. To get this in.
Well, because it's kind of an odd story.
It is.
I mean, he's in Walmart with a fuzzy animal, and then he put it back on the shelf.
Put it back on the shelf.
He put it back.
Yeah.
That's the faux pas. You got to buy it. You got to buy it.
Right. 19, you have sex with that thing. At least, 13. You know, get buy a little dinner or something. Take it home.
He's 19. He's an adult. Okay.
19.
Legal. They're like, he's fair game. He's fair game.
Yeah.
I completely get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and guess where it was, Smitty?
A unicorn.
No, guess where the Walmart was?
Florida.
Yeah, Brooksville, Florida, 50 miles.
Wow! I bet you he was on meth.
Oh, you know what? That's probably a pretty good guess.
What's a pretty good guess? Having someone breathe on you or pulling off a semen laced stuffed horse off the shelf.
I don't know. That makes me so sad for the horse now. Now I'm sad.
At least it wasn't a real horse.
True.
And finally, in lieu of its usual Valentine's Day reservations, White Castle is offering lovebirds a love cube. It's called a love cube.
They missed the mark because they should have called it a box and not a cube.
Right.
But continue.
Yeah. love box?
Yeah. I mean, they missed the mark.
He did.
They should have not called it a cube.
I mean, it would have stuck.
What is a love?
It's a love cube. So what it is a it's like a cube of four, like burgers or something. I don't know. It's one of those love cube boxes of those little mini burgers that White Castle. I've never been to a White Castle.
I have one time.
Yeah, one time you were.
It's not very good.
And that's the news presented by Lops Brewing. And now it is time now to talk a little Patriots with Tanya, who follows the team closely. And Tanya, with the way the season ended, how concerned, I guess, were you with how it ended so badly after, you know, winning 10 games and probably exceeding some expectations? Is that alarming or is it just one of those really bad nights?
I mean, it was definitely a really bad night that they had against a team that was definitely better than them. Like, they were going to lose that game. It was easy to have optimism going into it because of what happened earlier in the season. But like, realistically, the way the Bills played it in the back end of the season versus the way the Patriots did, like the writing was a little bit on the wall. And as like fans of the team and people who follow it, you always have to have some level of like optimism over it. But there's concern. Like, you'd be crazy not to have concerns about the fact that they have a true pocket passer quarterback who essentially, you know, he's sort of an outdated mold compared to the rest of the young quarterbacks in the league. Doesn't have the best arm, isn't the most, you know, physically gifted, is not mobile. And I don't know how you watch the AFC postseason this year and aren't like somewhat concerned that the Patriots offense is going to be a little bit outdated with Matt. I'm not super worried about the defense. I've said this 1,000 times on my podcast. I've said it on Twitter. Like, sometimes you just run up on somebody playing out of their mind and your defense, they got to fix the play calling. They will. They have to get quicker and they have to get more speed on the defensive line, you know, especially at like defensive end with those linebackers. They will. Bill Belichick knows how to build a defense. I'm not worried about it, but you know, I don't know how long, I don't know where Mac can take this team. They just need to get a wide receiver. And if they get a wide receiver and they can put the pieces together and build an offense that's actually built around Mac, you know, next year will be the make or break. They're either going to look like a team that can actually win a championship at some point in the next couple of years, or they're not. But we know for sure the Bills do. We know for sure the Chiefs do. We know the Bengals do. We know the Ravens do. There's very little room for error in the AFC.
What are your top two priorities? I mean, you mentioned wide receiver and getting a little more speed on defense. What are your top two priorities for the Patriots this offseason?
Yeah, I think that they should get, like, for the first time in a really long time, their number one, without question, priority has to be wide receiver. And it has to be someone who can work in a system that they create around Mac. I'm glad they have the two tight ends. I'm glad that they have the great running backs that they do have. And they always have a great system of, like, running backs by committee. But that offense was built for Cam Newton. And they need to have an offense with speed at wide receiver, someone who's quick, someone who gets yards after the catch. Like, I'm not that they don't need a crazy downfield threat. I don't know how much that's going to do for Mac. They need somebody who's, like, really speedy and can get yards after the catch, whether that's making a trade for someone like Chris Godwin or Adam Thielen, something like that. Like, they're going to have to go big. And then I would say their other priority should be getting more speed at the linebacker position. I think that Barmore is coming along on the interior of the D-line, so I think that that will be okay. But I would probably say, you know, they need one of those more physical linebackers who can drop into coverage.
And so what do you think Tom Brady will do this offseason, switching gears a little bit? You know, he had kind of a cryptic Instagram post that he's kind of said the same stuff for the last couple of years, you know, family, you know, Giselle doesn't like to see me getting hit, this kind of thing. Do you think he retires? Do you think he plays a little bit longer? Do you think he's trying to force somebody out in Tampa? What's your take on Brady and what he's going to do in the, you know, near future?
I talked about this on Almost Shameless. I think that there's more evidence this time around that he would retire than there's ever been. He's already accomplished things he hadn't accomplished a couple of years ago. He's played at a higher level than he played in the last few years in New England. He's won a ring. He was in MVP contention this year. If the voters had any brains, he would be the MVP this year. And I think that he's run out of patience with Bruce Arians in a lot of ways. He made a fool of himself with the Antonio Brown stuff. There's been a little bit of turmoil behind the scenes for Tampa Bay and the Bucs and, like, that locker room. After the game, he was very congenial with the players on the Rams. He was on the field and patted on the back and good game and everybody, which is unusual for Brady after a brutal playoff loss. It felt a lot like, if this is going to be my last game in the NFL, I want to go out respectfully and with my head held high. So I do genuinely think he's considering it. His oldest son is old enough now to, like, actually, you know, voice his opinions on what, on how much time he gets to spend with his father. And, you know, he is about to be 45. His kids are all at an age now where they're able to have a say in what they think he should do. And I do think that as much as he loves playing football, there is a part of him, because he has such a good dad and such a good mom, and he has such a family that he respects, that it's one thing if your wife asks you, it's another thing if your kids ask you. And I think that might be at play.
So that makes sense. So switching to the games now, who do you think wins the AFC and NFC championship games and then ultimately the Super Bowl?
Well, the Rams-Niners game is obviously the most interesting, because if the Bengals don't get blown out by the Chiefs, it'll be a miracle. I absolutely love Joe Burrow. He is a star. Jamar Chase, like, I actually like a lot of the pieces that they have on that team across the board. Andy Reid can coach Zach Taylor up and down the field. It's a joke. Like, they're just not even in the same stratosphere. Talent-wise, playoff experience-wise, they're going to be in Kansas City. It would be one of the biggest upsets in the history of the championship game if the Bengals were to win. So I'm taking the Chiefs out of the AFC. The Niners-Rams is interesting because Sean McVay cannot beat Kyle Shanahan. He hasn't done it. And that's concerning, especially considering what they've done to the Cowboys and the Packers, who were both very good teams this year. And they've done it on the road. They have no problem playing in Los Angeles and going there. They're probably going to have a home field crowd in Los Angeles. But having said all that, at some point, Sean McVay has to beat Kyle Shanahan, and he has a much better quarterback. He has I think the best player in the playoffs left right now in Cooper Kupp, like, outside of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Cooper Kupp's a nightmare. And I think that the magic has run out for the Niners. Jimmy Garoppolo is a beat up, mediocre quarterback who hung in there in a defensive, cold, ridiculous game against the choke artist Aaron Rodgers. And I just think they're going to finally run up on a real wall in Los Angeles. Like, that team feels like a team that's meant to be in the Super Bowl.
Oh, would you change the overtime rules? What do you think they should be?
I think they should get rid of the coin toss completely and not change anything else. Essentially, like, if you score a touchdown on your first possession, then you win the game, because I think it's important that teams are still incentivized to play defense and learn how to scheme against these like mobile quarterbacks. I think it's important that we keep defense an important part of what teams are building on. And everything is already so skewed on offense, and the rules are so skewed to benefit offense, quarterbacks and the skilled players and everything else, that to say, hey, if you can't stop them from getting in the end zone, don't worry, we'll give you a try, because screw defense, it doesn't matter. You don't have to do it. But if you take away the coin toss and you decide who gets first possession in a different way, you can decide it's home field advantage and you can say home field gets first possession. You can decide that away team gets first possession in overtime. If you can't beat them at home in regulation, then away team gets it. You can decide, this could be an interesting thing where you say, hey, coin flip at the beginning of the game. If you decide to receive the ball in the second half, if you decide like you're going to receive and you're going to defer to start the game, well, guess what? You're going to have to defer to start overtime. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do, you can decide that the team with the most fucking pet dogs is the team who gets, but it just eliminate the coin flip so that when you're at the two minute warning in the fourth quarter, both sides know what's going to happen if you go to overtime. So one side's going to know, hey, if we go to overtime, we get the ball. And the other time team's going to know we go to overtime, they get the ball. So you have to actually strategize and have gamesmanship and like understand exactly what you need to do. And it presents more scheming and more coaching rather than being like, let's just make it there and see what happens.
That's an interesting point, because I didn't see it that way, because that would add, like you said, the strategy at the end. So if we're going to go for it, or we're going to go for two.
Right. You're going to go for two to win the game because you know the other team gets the ball first.
Yeah. So I just think that you can have NHL, MLB, they have different rules for overtime or extra innings in the regular season than the playoffs. And you can do that, because I get that they want to be off at a certain time for networks and all that stuff, and they want the game in a certain time frame in the regular season. You can be different in the playoffs. So at least just be able to match the touchdown too. Like, at the very least, like, because
you should play defense, play some goddamn,
I think,
defense.
I like Tanya's suggestion, but if they were going to change the rules, I say play another full quarter. Play another full quarter. See what happens.
Yeah, they're not. Someone suggested that on Twitter, and my point was essentially what your point is, which is like they're just not going to give. They're not going to say essentially, because this is what they're admitting is that like the hour of football you just watched that took 3.5 hours, that's done. It didn't matter. Right. It's off the table. We're just going to play another quarter. Same rules, same everything. We're just tacking on quarters till someone wins. And it's going to extend games. It's going to devalue regulation, and they don't want to devalue regulation football. And they don't want teams to feel like, well, we've got another quarter to figure this out, because then we're like, I mean, as much as it would have been amazing to watch an extra quarter of Bills Chiefs, I think the ratings would have been amazing. They also know there's times where we would have had to watch an extra quarter of like Vikings Lions. And like that shit is just like, no, thank you.
No, I mean, I think they should only do it in the playoffs, kind of like hockey where they just keep going until someone wins. I think they should only do it in the playoffs. But no, I actually like your suggestion. And I think that's what they should do, is determine it before the game based on the coin toss. Like, if you defer to the second half, then you defer for overtime. And then that creates strategy at the end where if someone's not going to get the ball to start overtime, they're going to go for two to try to win the game in regulation.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's sudden death, and you think you can't stop them, and it's 41-40, and you have this choice on extra point or 2-point conversion. You may take that. Like, the Bills might have taken that, you know, because they can't stop the Chiefs and vice versa. So that's very, I just don't understand with the Bills. First of all, I think Sean McDermott is a pretty good coach. But his problem is he gets so wound up, and he did it in the Bills game, like, you know, in the win game where they lost to the Patriots, where he just gets so tied up in officiating and they're getting favored calls over us and we're getting screwed and all this exterior stuff. If he just settles down and coaches football, his team is plenty good and he's done a good job with them. But that squib kick thing, not squib kicking it at the end, is asinine. I mean, at least hit a rocket on the ground that someone has to field. So if it bounces off and they don't catch it cleanly, then it's another 2 to 3 seconds to gather it, take a knee, give yourself up. Now you're at like 10 seconds left, you know?
Yeah.
And so instead of kicking it and having no time off the clock and then letting Travis Kelce just run down the seam, like wide open, like no one even hit him off the line.
Yeah. Some of it's execution. Some of it is like, you know, this is part of the problem. There has to be some defensive innovation for quarterbacks like Mahomes and Josh Allen that
right.
like, neither Josh McDermott nor Steve Spagnuolo have figured out. Like
right.
certainly Bill Belichick hasn't figured it out. So if he hasn't, no one is. And so I think there's this sense of like, you know, it's so easy to look at that and be like 13 seconds on the clock. We haven't been able to stop them. What do we do here? But there's a traditional way of thinking in football that is still really understandable, which is there's 13 seconds on the clock. We need one stop and we have the best defense in football. Like my defense can make one play and to not trust your defense to make that play. He could get criticized for that too. You know, there's a lot of people if they squib kicked it and try to do something fancy there. Or something went wrong after doing that, they'd say you're number one in defensive DVOA this year. You didn't trust your defense to stop them with 13 seconds left, you know? So there's always another side of the story. And I do think that the Bills are like weirdly not doing well after this loss. Like I've seen some of the stuff that came out today, like Brandon Bean said, he like can't even talk about it. Like,
McKenzie was really down. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Brandon Bean was like, he's like, I'm not okay. Like they're doing really bad. And so like, I think there definitely has to, there is obviously a culture of like, they're feeling, I don't know what it is in that building, but right now it almost seems like, okay, you guys have got to chill. That can either translate to them falling apart and not being able to handle the pressure or them being an absolute nightmare next year.
Right.
And like, I'm really actually pretty excited to find out.
Right. Right. I mean, they're either the 2003 Red Sox or or a team that just completely just falls apart.
Early 90s Bills and they just lose the Super Bowl every year for the next 5 years.
Or they're the Falcons that lose, you know, to the 28-3 lead and then they're never heard from again.
Yeah, terrible.
But I mean, the thing is, like, the Bills put up an amazing, like, they would have won if they played any other team on the planet in any other conditions. If they played that game in Buffalo, they'd have won. You know, there's no shame in losing that game to that team. They're going to feel it.
Yeah.
Of course. If I were them, I'd feel it too. But that's a much better team than the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
That lost to the Patriots. And they certainly didn't blow a 28-3 lead. Like, that's a heartbreaker, man. And that either creates, like you said, it either creates a dynasty or it tanks you. And I just think that Josh Allen is, the thing about Josh Allen people don't talk about is he works his ass off. He is a hard worker. He is a grinder. Like that guy, that's not a guy that like, he's not your typical 6'5" great athlete who takes his skill set for granted. He's a guy who wasn't recruited out of high school and had to like work his way up in college. Like he's got that Tom Brady work ethic. And so I think we might be looking at a little bit of a monster, you know,
certainly appears that way.
Yeah, it certainly does. So tell me, are you looking forward to the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yes, I am.
Nice.
This is a millennial dream. Like, do you understand?
Yeah.
The age bracket is like, it's, I feel like they're advertising it at me. Like, I feel like they're like, this is for you personally, Tanya. Right. Here you go. Like, I am ecstatic. I hope it, I don't care if the sound is bad. I don't care if they all look old. I don't care if they're good. I don't give a shit. I'm so pumped that it's not like Katy Perry. I'm just thrilled.
Right. It's not the weekend Creed, you know, something just weird. Yeah, it's nothing. It's just, let's just get after it and get, you know, get this group together. And you, like you said, they may be old and, you know, Eminem's, what's Eminem, 50? I mean, it might be. I mean,
Zyra,
you know, I mean,
isn't Jay-Z like, I mean, he's like my mom's age at this point. Yeah, like, these guys are old.
He's like 60, isn't he, or something?
Yeah, I don't know. He's old. So, Dre. So like, and then, I mean, well, Mary J. Blige will be amazing because like, come on. But the guys, I don't know how they're aging, but I don't give a shit.
No, it's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
Big time. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we're going to do some five questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to roll into five questions. Haven't done this in a while. Five questions with two assholes. Here we go. Yeah. I got five. All right, question number one. What are the top five most annoying things to you?
Five?
Or what? One, whatever. You can do, top three. Top three. You don't have five things that annoy you? God bless you.
Oh.
Because I could rattle five off.
I definitely do. Let me think, let me go like off the top, whether it's dumb or not, because that's what this whole segment is for.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, most of them are probably social media related, but when people don't get that I'm being sarcastic on Twitter, that's been happening to me a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And like, if people don't follow me and they don't get it, that's okay. But it's always my followers. And I'm like, guys, you come on. Like,
you've been here the whole time. Figure it out.
That's one. Another one is when people are tell me they don't drink coffee, they only drink tea. Those people can suck it.
Okay.
And then the other one is people who are afraid to fly on airplanes. Be nervous about traveling because it's stressful to travel. But people who have mental breakdowns, grip the seat, take a fucking like Valium because they can't get sent on an airplane is like so infuriating to me. And I don't want to indulge in your like extreme anxiety while I'm already locked on a plane.
Right. You get in that turbulence and there's that person. Oh. Never experienced turbulence before. Yeah.
Like, that's so much less scary than having someone slam on their brakes in front of you on the highway. So like, chill.
Yep.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So question number two, we're going from annoying to liked. Who do you think is the world's most universally liked person?
I think that's kind of hard. It's probably like Cristiano Ronaldo or something. Like, I don't know. I can't speak for the world because like we're Americans have no sense of what other people like.
That's true.
So I'm going to speak for America and say America is united on Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton is a great answer. Probably would be my answer. Dolly Parton or The Rock, maybe. Everybody loves The Rock for some reason.
Or Betty White.
Betty White's a good one.
Yeah. I was trying to go with someone who was still alive.
That's sad.
I mean, we got to have some level of hope.
Poor Betty.
Yeah. Question number three. 1 year in a padded room with absolutely nothing. No books. No games, no TV, no Netflix, nothing. For $30 billion with a B dollars, could you do it? 365 days, padded room, nothing. Staring at the walls. I couldn't do it either, I don't think. I'd try. I'd give it a go, but I don't think I would make it.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm just going to give it a shot, Matt. Yeah. Like, I don't fucking care.
I'd go for the buyout.
A buyout.
Yeah. Can you give me like 3 months saying, can you give me a mil?
I mean, if that's on the table, I'll do it for like 2 days for like 50 grand. Like, that's fine. Right, but like, first of all, I don't need to be that rich. Secondly, like even if it was like 500 million, right? Like, let's say it was like an insane amount of money, like winning the lottery. By the time you get out of that thing, you will not be in a place to enjoy the money. Like, well, your shit's done. Like, you're over. That shit's for your family. Like, this is a last-ditch attempt to save your lineage at that point because fucked.
Yeah, you're Looney Tunes, I think, by that point. Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there talking to yourself like in week two.
Yeah, you're singing your songs. You're singing everything you know. Yeah. You're going back through lots of things. Yeah, I think you would drive yourself crazy for sure. All right.
Yeah.
Question number four. How many pumps do you think the average sex session lasts?
Oh, okay.
I heard this on the internet. I heard two guys talking about it. So you can give your answer and then I'll tell you what they said.
Okay. I think it's like, so pumps on average. So you get long people, you get short, you know, you get people who go for a long time, you get people who can, they top out at like, you know, 45 seconds to a minute. Everybody's got their thing.
Yeah.
So let's say on average, I'm going to go 50.
Okay.
50 is... That's pretty, that's
50s, yeah. 50s asking a lot, but that's,
you know what? I was so no. Yeah. So listen, the next time you have sex, you're going to be like 1, 2.
I'd be like, yes,
yes, yes, yes.
You are better than average. Congratulations. Yeah. So the guy said 32.
Okay. So is that more reasonable for you, Matt?
Yeah, that's more reasonable.
Yeah, we stay in the 30s. Reasonable. Okay.
Fit. Yeah, that's like if we've done it in the morning and now we're doing it at night. Yeah, 32 is right in. Right
yeah.
In
well, and also like there's like young guys that are like going ham, and then there's like people who are actually like having adult sex where there's other stuff that's been involved for a while.
Right.
You
with
know,
care. Like, yeah, care. And, yeah, sensitivity.
You're getting amped up. Yeah. So like there's layers. I see it.
Yeah. Oh, there.
Okay. So question number 5. If your life depended on it, one person, past or present, putting a ball in play to save your life, who do you pick?
Putting a ball in play, like basketball?
Baseball. Somebody has somebody's taking a swing and they have to put it in play to save your life. Who do you choose?
Okay. I'm going to go, well, you had to go for batting average. So, and I'm not going with a Yankee.
Right.
I'm going to go past or present. I'm going Ted Williams.
Ted Williams is a good call. I'm going Tony Gwynn just because he doesn't ever strike out. I would go Tony Gwynn. That would be my choice.
No swings and misses. Yeah.
What? I am picking a Red Sox. This is there's karma on the line here. Like part of this is loyalty, and now you've gone against one of the great franchises. So you guys are screwed.
Well, that's true. Would Tony be invested in us?
Yeah, Tony, that's right. You know? He wouldn't be. But Ted Williams and Tony Gwynn were good friends.
Yeah, they talked hitting a lot. Yeah, they
had so maybe you could be like, I love Ted Williams. Please don't screw this up for me. Yeah,
right. Yeah,
there you go.
Also, that segues us into David Ortiz going to the Hall of Fame. You see, here's my thought on the whole thing. I think you put the best players in because there are so many extenuating circumstances. The league, the commissioner, everyone knew what was going on, the steroid error and so forth. And I just don't think you can keep Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, Roger Clemens, and these guys out of Barry Bonds, especially out of the Hall of Fame. I'm glad David Ortiz got in, of course. I mean, I think he deserves to be in.
Yeah.
But I think these other guys should go in because, again, you oversaw what was happening, didn't do much about it. There was a lot of reactionary discipline and, you know, you just sort of let it all happen. And now you're not allowing the guys to go in who really made you tons of money. So that's the way I look at it.
I mean, you're 100% right. And, you know, let's be honest. Everybody always says the reason they didn't say anything about it was because it was great for ratings and all that stuff. And that is true. But the other reason they didn't say anything about it was because they really didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Because players have been taking performance-enhancing drugs, illicit and otherwise, since the start of baseball. Methamphetamines, speed, cocaine, all kinds of shit to make sure that they can stay awake for games, get buzz, focus in on things. They've taken as long as stuff has been around for you to put in your body, they've been putting it in. And then someone whistle blew on it and they had to cover their asses. But the reality is people cannot anabolic steroids and HGH their way into being two of the best baseball players in the history of the sport. And Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, I posted this on Twitter. I'm sure you guys saw it. Like they're top 10 in WAR. In the history of baseball, in all of the history of baseball,
right.
Clemens and Bonds. And like it's like Clemens and Ty Cobb who played when the game wasn't fucking even the way it is anymore. They didn't have to play against black people and they could literally snort meth in the locker room.
Right.
So this is not even a question. It's a total joke. It's pathetic. Steroids, like their biggest thing was that they helped you get stronger and train so that you were healthier and you were healthier quicker and you were stronger quicker. It didn't make you like, could you hit for power a little bit more? Sure. But that wasn't what made Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer. And it wasn't what made Roger Clemens a Hall of Famer. So if you want to go and take that to Mark McGwire, then like do that. Be a real baseball person, like analyze it. Don't be a moron And right. definitely don't put David Ortiz in just because he was nice to you, because now it takes the shine off of David Ortiz, because everybody's yeah. like, well, he got in and these other guys didn't get in, but that's because David Ortiz loves media. And it's like, no, he got in and the other guys should have gotten in too. So like, I'm going to watch David Ortiz get into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to root for him during his amazing speech. That's going to be absolutely glorious. And then I'm never, ever going to give a shit about this like total right. sham of a Hall of Fame ever again, because it's a joke.
I agree with you. And the only thing that bothered me about it was, like you said, the people that were giving Ortiz crap, like he didn't deserve to be in, like Clemens and Bonds should be in, but you know, not Ortiz. It's like, he still deserved it, but the other people deserve to be in there too. Probably should have got in a long time ago, honestly.
They should have both been in first ballot, like no questions. They're two of the greatest baseball. Like the impossibility of performing the way that they did in their era of baseball, where their only real comparisons are like players that were born in the 1800s and like from a completely different era. Like to be that dominant in an era where there was so much more parity, the league was much more modernized, is absolutely insane. Like we're not even talking about a Mike Trout. We're not even talking about like a Manny Ramirez, like players who are insane all-time players. We're talking about, this is the equivalent of not putting Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame. Like that's how bad not putting Barry Bonds in is. Like that's how insane this is.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's top five player ever to play. And you know, Pete Rose has 4,000 hits. You know, and now sports gambling is legal in many states. Like now it looks sort of ridiculous. I just think it's a slippery slope when you start playing the moral ethical card as a baseball writer with all of these different guys and saying and picking and choosing. Well, this guy didn't do it, but this guy did it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you were one of the top 50 players in the game and you knew that at least half of the top 50 were doing something to get better stats, to make more money, you would at least try something. Like you would at least find a way to get stronger, to get on the field quicker, like these other guys. You wouldn't let them make all that type of money while you're hitting 20 home runs a year and they're hitting 55. Yeah. You wouldn't let that happen.
Everybody's
just
doing
it. You weren't caught doesn't mean you didn't do it. So you can't start picking and choosing.
No, everybody's doing it. Just look at the spin rate thing this past year with the doctor and the baseballs. Right. All the pitchers were doing it. The ERAs across the league went up.
Right.
It wasn't just like a particular little bit here, a little bit there. The entire league. So everybody was doing it. Everybody was doing it.
Yeah. Well, the league doctors the balls themselves.
Right.
They make them smaller and harder and, you know, make them like golf balls for crying out loud.
I also think it's funny that they're precious with like, they're like, well, if Barry Bonds hadn't done anabolic steroids or whatever, like maybe he wouldn't have broken the records of dudes who played against like part-time grocers in 1906. Like, fuck you, dude. The competition back then was so pathetic. Like, no wonder Babe Ruth has all the stats and the records. No wonder he has the highest wins above replacement of all time. The replacement was like a dude who mowed lawns for a living. Like, you're worried about the like preciousness of these stats. Like Barry Bonds could have beat those in his sleep. Like, shut up.
Yeah, I just think baseball itself just continues to shoot itself in the foot, look moronic, and this whole Hall of Fame thing. Now, to me, I think the Hall of Fame needs to be the absolute great of the great. I'm not into very good. I'm not into Scott Rolen and Jeff Kent and Larry Walker and these guys. Really
even
good
like
players.
Andrew Jones. Like, I don't see it. You know,
good people.
I think you either have to be an all-time great player statistically, like regardless of titles, or you have to be a postseason legend who Like there's two different ways you can do that. And I think Ortiz doesn't stack up necessarily day-to-day stats because of being a DH or whatever, but he did revolutionize the position. And he's one of the most important players in the history of postseason baseball,
right?
Like there's two different lanes, but you have to be in those lanes. And I don't want a guy who's just like, oh, he was in a lot of All-Star games and he won a couple gold gloves. And it's like,
Yeah, no, thanks. Well, Tanya, it's been great to have you on the show with us. We did the whole show with you, which was great. We really appreciated it.
Thank you guys for having me on. This was awesome. I had a lot of fun with you and, look forward to the next time we do it, whenever that is.
I'll send you a quick tweet with like a random number and then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'll be like, hey, Tanya, 14. 14 last night, 14.
Nice. All right,
Tanya. Hey, everybody have a great week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Don't say it because I know I'm
don't even gotta try.
Now you know.
I like Chardonnay, get better over time.
Now you know.
They just say I'm not the baddest bitch you like.